The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. My man, IRA, is back in the house. Shout out to Miz. I mean, man, I can't say enough about, you know, the WTKA family. You know, the team that we have here is great when you genuinely like and love the people that you work with. And so we got a guy in Miz who comes in and we don't miss a beat when he's on with us. We have in addition to our Sunday countdown to kickoff crew. And Ira, I have started to warm up to the idea that when we transition, that maybe I can stomach and put to the side my biases and say maybe we can make a little room for Madison Riley. Maybe we can, because she's been a valuable addition as well. But there's nothing like having my guy IRA back on the other side, brother from another mother. And you know, when he's back in the house, that means that we can get to the countdown to the start of the Michigan football season.
It is great to be back, Sam. It is great to get back to the countdown of the 2020 Michigan football season, the rescheduled start of the Michigan football season. And Sam, we are now 25 days away. The countdown brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050. WTK, The Ticket. So we are 25 Fred Rehor days away, Sam. Fred was an offensive lineman for the Wolverines who was born December 15th, 1893 in Hastings, Michigan. His parents, Jacob and Louisa, emigrated from Germany. His dad operated a buzz planer in a table factory up in Hastings. He arrived on campus in 1913, and he was really here from 1913 through 1916, but with a unique timeline while on campus. But he was a pretty big guy for that time, Sam, because he was here in those 19 teens. He was still 6 foot, about 250 pounds. But he was a pharmacy student at Michigan. He was a member of Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity, and he was a member of Yost point-a-minute teams of the 19 teens. And following a 1916 game against Penn, which was a season-ending 10-7 loss, the New York Times wrote, quote, "The work of Rehor on the line ranked the best ever seen in Michigan. The Husky 250-pounder outplayed Henning from start to finish and broke through and nailed the backs for losses," end quote. So I assume Henning was a good player from Penn. I have no idea. But yes, Husky at 250. Needless to say, Sam, that was big then. Now he'd be like, you know, a decent-sized linebacker, but that's about it. The Michigan alumnus wrote, quote, "Of the lineman, Rehor was always prominent, breaking up numerous plays and showing an excellent nose for the ball. Many a spectator will long retain the mental image of the big guard catching a short kickoff and plowing down the field with the ball," end quote. He played pro football for the Massillon Tigers in 1917. Sam, you might have heard of the name of his coach. His coach was Newt Rockne. And that year, in 1917, the Tigers played in a really famous game. They played the Canton Bulldogs in the championship game in 1917 against a player by the name of Jim Thorpe. And the Tigers actually beat the Bulldogs 6-0. Fred Rehor got married to Gertrude Ricker of Canton in April of 1818. He left football, worked as a chemist at the Central Steel Plant. He also operated a drugstore in Canton, Ohio, and he passed away in 1959 at the age of 65. We are 25 Fred Rehor days away until the start of the Michigan football season. We are also 25 Tom Curtis days away. Tom was born November 1st, 1947, so that means he's actually exactly one month older than my dad. Tom was from Aurora, Ohio, arrived on campus in 1966, varsity Wolverine 67 in 1969, defensive back about 6'1", 185 or so pounds. Actually, in 66, on the freshman team, he played quarterback, but then he moved to defensive back where he played starting in 1967. He started 9 games there, 8 of them at safety. He started 10 games in bumps last season and was named All Big Ten in 1968. And then he was a consensus All-American for first-year head coach Bo Schembechler in 1969. And he had 2 interceptions in the famous Ohio State game. Man, Ohio State had a ton of interceptions. You want to know why Woody said that 2 of the 3 things that could happen through the wall were bad? Yeah, Tom Curtis was a big part of that. Right. We talked about it last week, too. tons of turnovers in that game. Anyway, still holds Michigan records for interceptions in a game with three. Nine others have tied that record since then, but he had a three in 1967 at Illinois. He still is the Michigan season record holder with interceptions 10 in 1968, and he has the career record of interceptions in a career 25. And it's tough for anyone to pass that, Sam. You have to play probably 4 years at this point. I don't think anyone with that many INTs is going to play 4 years, start 4 years at Michigan. They're going to probably head off to the NFL. He then set an NFL record with 431 return yards of interceptions as well, breaking a record that has since been broken, but he broke a record from the 1940s from a guy by the name of Lynn Chandois or something to that effect. In 1970, Tom Curtis was drafted in the 14th round, 356th overall by the Baltimore Colts. He played for the Colts in 1970 and 71, where he won Super Bowl V with the Colts. He was then traded to the L.A. Rams in August of 72, but he was cut and then picked off waivers by Miami. He missed the 72 season with a knee injury. He was on injured reserve for their undefeated season of 72. And then he retired from football in late July of 1973. He went into the publishing business. He is a 2005 College Football Hall of Fame inductee. His daughter, of course, is a very good friend of the show, Tammy Carr. So he, of course, is part of the Carr family on that the opposite in-law side. We are 25 Tom Curtis days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And Sam, we are also 25 Harlan Huckabee days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Harlan Huckabee, born December 30th, 1957, was a four-time MHSAA state champion in track and field, where he won the 220-yard dash in 74 and 75, and he also won the 100-yard dash in the 4x110 relay in 1975. And, of course, he did that while participating in high school athletics at Cass Tech down there in Detroit. And then he came to Ann Arbor, where he was on campus from 75 to 78. He started 30 games for the Wolverines as a tailback, about 6'1.5". They list him, but it seems pretty finite there, Sam, at 6'1.5", 199. He started 30 games, won three Big Ten titles, and played in three Rose Bowls while wearing the maize and blue with backfield mates like Rick Leach and... Well, let's see, who else do we have in there? We've got Rob Lido, Russell Davis, and Butch Wolfolk, and Mike Ken. In 1972, he was a part of the team that finished, 1976, part of a team that finished 10-2, 7-1 in the Big Ten, and finished number three in the country. In 1977, they went 10-2 overall, 7-1 in the Big Ten, and finished number nine in the country. And then in 1978, they finished 10-2, 7-1 in the Big Ten, and number five in the country. And so, of course, we talk a lot about a guy for the Wolverines in Harlan Huckabee, and we also every once in a while like to go take back to a listen as well. Would be better if it played the right audio for me.
Ricky Leach on a pitcher keep.
Gives off to Huckabee down the 50, the 45, the 40, the 35, the 30, the 20, the 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There it is, the bow, George Patton, Shem Beckler scoring horn. Harlan Huckabee, little old Huckleberry Finn from in Detroit. Went all the way from the 43-yard line, a 68-yard run, a 58-yard run from the 42-yard line into the end zone. And Michigan leads in the ball game 8-0.
Huckabee deep, Lido close. There is Huckabee on the ball. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and it is.
Here it is. Three honks, and it's a touchdown, the big six for Harlan Huckabee, his second of the afternoon, the fifth on his young career, as Michigan's front five up there, Dufek, Donahue, Downing, Zara, and Ken, blocking their hearts out up front, and it was Rob Lido who threw the key block, enabling Harlan Huckabee after he had taken the pitch out from Ricky Leach into the end zone. Michigan leads 15-0.
And those were both from 1976 Michigan-Wisconsin game with our guy Ufer on the call. Sammy, also Harlan Huckabee ran track at Michigan for 1 year, where he was a Big Ten champion both indoor and outdoor, and placed third of the NCAA's during All-American status as a member of the 4x400 relay team in 1976. In 1971, he was a fifth-round pick, 120th overall by the New Orleans Saints in the draft. In 1979, he actually played eight games up north of the border for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders of the CFL. From 1980 to 1985, Harlan Huckabee played in the NFL for Sam Webb's favorite NFL team, the Green Bay Packers, 4 years with Bart Starr as coach, and then two with Forrest Gregg. He accumulated nearly 2,500 all-purpose yards in the National Football League. We are 25 Harlan Huckabee days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And Sam, there are two current members of the roster that wear the number 25. The first one is a local product. He is a freshman, 6 foot, about 231 pounds, out of West Bloomfield High School, played for Ron Bellamy out of West Bloomfield, Michigan. Number 25 linebacker, Sam, Cornell Wheeler.
Yeah, so a couple of things first. Shout out to my man H-Bomb, who he used to do the postgame show on WTKA. I know a lot of you WTKA listeners, long time, remember the candid takes of Harlan H-Bomb Huckabee. A guy who could pick him up and put him down. You think about, the speediest backs in Michigan history. You got to put the H-Bomb up there. Another number 25. And I tell you all the time, shout out to my man Ed Davis yesterday for the diminutive guys that you like to identify with, you like to emulate, right? Jamie maybe being the first one that I look to in that way. Another one was John Vaughn. And, if you think about the speed that we have seen at the Michigan tailback position, Ira, Tyrone Wheatley, who I regard as the standard bearer, right? A guy who was a legit, legit 10. I think he said his fastest 100 meter time was in the 10-4s, 10-3, 10-4. That was John Vaughn too, Ira. Another number 25. And I had to look it up too, because I remember reading in the past that he was a state record holder in Missouri. And it turns out that his record, his 100 meter record was broken back in 2007, but he was a 10-4-4 100 meter guy, a 21-2-8 200 meter guy. You talk about a blazer, John Vaughn. I mean, you think about that you go back to that 90 season and how he had a couple of 200 yard games early in that year. Who can forget the Notre Dame contest, which I call the Stonebreaker game, right? John Vaughn was just tremendous, one of the fastest guys to ever do it. So I want to obviously give him a shout out as well as a number 25. But to get to Cornell Wheeler, one of Ron Bellamy's proteges and one of the earliest guys in the fold in the 20 class for Michigan. They identified him watching him. In the summer, I want to say it was the summer between his sophomore and junior seasons, where you could really tell that Don Brown was really impressed. A thumper in the middle of that defense. What Ron will tell you, and I think what Michigan came to agree with, is that questions about his speed, as we stick with that point, questions about his speed were overstated. That he is a guy that has, number one, a physicality that you can't teach, but at the same time, a guy who has worked on that aspect of his game, is faster than I think people give him credit for, and thinks the game really well. Also, I think that was one of the things that stuck out to me most about Ron's description of him. He said, look, man, as far as a quarterback of a defense, which is what you like your linebacker to be, your middle linebacker to be, that's essentially what he was for us. A guy who could move other guys around, tell them where to be, a guy who could, who was really good as a blitzer as well. And a guy that he came to trust in coverage too. So as you look at the stable, as far as the linebacker position is concerned, probably not as far as the rotation is concerned, a likely place as a true freshman. You don't want to rule a guy out, because what will help him is that they run essentially the same defense at West Bloomfield. I mean, their defensive playbook and terminology is a direct sort of rip from Michigan. I mean, they clinic and consult with Michigan for their defense. So he has some experience in the scheme. So that will help his development. But think about what we're talking about, at the linebacker position. When you look at, Josh Ross and Cam McGrone in that mix already. You know, we talked about a guy like Khalil Mullings yesterday coming in. I mean, you got some real competition at that spot that might be, you know, it might be a little while before you see him right there in the two deep. But a guy that you certainly shouldn't write off, really big believer in Cornell. And, you know, you look at he and Makari Page being in the fold, their presence here helps Michigan with another Wes Bloomfield guy that they're pursuing pretty hard. And that, of course, is Donovan Edwards. We'll see what happens with him. But Cornell Wheeler, a number 25 that you're going to be hearing from before all is said and done.
And the other number 25 on the roster, same as now, a junior out of Eureka Senior High School from St. Louis, Missouri, a 6'1", 220-pound running back, Hassan Haskins.
Yeah, so John Vaughn was a 25 from Missouri as well. Different kind of back than Hassan,
you don't
right?
say, Sam. He has a 6 in front of his height, Sam.
Right, he's a taller guy, a bigger guy. You know, he's, I think, when you look back at last season, and you look at that Ohio State game, which I know a lot of people point to the fourth down play. And I think you should look more at the second half, look more at the fourth quarter and what Hassan Haskins, what his effort symbolized in that moment, at least to me, is a guy that despite the odds will continue to play like it's 0-0, like it's nothing. That his, you know, the magnitude of the moment or the odds that seem impossible don't do anything to diminish his effort or intensity. And that was my biggest takeaway from that Ohio State game. You look at that game in the fourth quarter where, it looked like for some guys on the field, the margin, the score had gotten them down, had pulled them down, mentally as far as their emotion was concerned. And you just didn't see that in Hassan Haskins, a guy who runs physical. How many times did I say last year, the first guy doesn't bring Hassan Haskins down? And it was an uncanny thing. I would love to see his stats for yards after contact because it was uncanny, his ability. And you know, it wasn't always him running through a tackler. He has such good feet, he might make you miss and beat the first guy that way. But consistently, whether it was making a move or running through an arm tackle, time after time, Hassan Haskins would get yards after contact or beating the first guy. Really good vision and feet for a guy his size. Not a speed burner, obviously. And that's where when you look at the stable, and now it's starting to look like a stable. Now it's starting to look like when you talk about the number of guys that are ready to command playing time. Now it's starting to look like back in the days of yesteryear when Jamie and Wheat, and Biaka Batuka, you go on down the line when there was more than one back. I'm not saying that they have a guy that's on par with any of those guys talent wise. I'm just saying when you have, three, four backs that you feel like, man, all these guys deserve playing time. I think Michigan is in that place right now. And really, I mean, you look at the return of Chris Evans, his specialty, being able to catch the football. Remember, Chris was recruited as a slot at first, showed you that he could be a physical runner as well. And I think that's what convinced them very quickly. Let's play him at tailback, forget this slot thing. So he's back and impressing. Obviously, Blake Corum comes in and brings you a speed element that, he's the fastest guy in the room. A work ethic that as a freshman has really, really impressed. I think in the Zoom the other day, I remember Josh saying something about, yeah, we got some video of Blake Corum going on the track 9 o'clock at night. I'm thinking, this dude is getting in work 24 hours a day, right? But he's that guy, can catch the football, physical for his size as well, bring speed. They want to try to get the ball in his hands some this year. And then Zach Charbonnet. So Zach comes in last year. He has to get a procedure done on his on his leg, on his knee, right away. Starts out the season and, you know, plays well, gets 30 carries. I think it was against Army. And then from that point on, kind of, you know, he had a, you know, an issue heading into the Wisconsin game and kind of battled not being 100% the rest of the year. He got better, but was never quite 100% in the offseason, was able to get mended more. And they say he looks like a different guy now, a better version of Zach Charbonnet than he was last year. So all of those guys, looking like they need to command the same in Zach Charbonnet's case or more playing time. And here you have Hassan Haskins, in this mix. And to me, it's sort of akin to the Ohio State game. You got, you know, three other guys that are commanding playing time. And you talk about a guy that's not, I don't expect to bow in the face of that challenge, much like he didn't bow in the face of the challenge late in the Ohio State game. It's one of the reasons why I think you're going to see all four of those guys in some capacity this year. Now, how they feed them, is it, you know, is it emphasis on some more than others in some games? Is it based on practice in a given way? I don't know how they're going to do it. But I just know that this is not a guy that you write off. He may not be the fastest guy in the room. He's not necessarily the, you know, the receiver playing running back that some of the other guys are, but the combination of feet, size, toughness, and vision makes him too much to write off, in my opinion, Hassan Haskins.
We are 25 Hassan Haskins, 25 Cornell Wheeler, 25 John Vaughn, 25 Harlan Huckabee, 25 Tom Curtis, 25 Fred Rahor, days away until the rescheduled start of the 2020 Michigan football season coming up on Saturday, October 24th, when they visit the Twin Cities to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. The countdown is brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
And, folks, we will come back on the other side, close this hour out with a look to the NFL last night. It's like, man, they are going to be extremely tough, those Kansas City Chiefs. Understatement of the year, right? We'll get to that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.